This is Jay Sekulow. The president refuses to use the term radical Islam. Not surprising, he ordered the Department of Homeland Security to remove it from its lexicon.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The gunman's wife may soon face charges herself. This comes following reports that she not only knew about her husband's plan, but she drove him to the nightclub to scope out the area.
On the wife, we confirmed through a law enforcement source that they are questioning her. She is cooperating to a degree. She admitted that she knew about the plans in advance and the purchase of the weapons, but she did not do anything to stop the plotting.
There's no magic to the phrase radical Islam. It's a political talking point. It's not a strategy. And the reason I am careful about how I describe this threat has nothing to do with political correctness and everything to do with actually defeating extremism.
The phrase isn't magical, but it's reality. It's the reality that we're facing a hostile ideology and that it motivates people all around the world. The president's unwillingness to use it is because he won't acknowledge the existence of the ideology. He knows there are people out there killing, but he won't acknowledge the reason why, because if he did, it would require a totally different strategy. He hasn't learned a thing about terrorism in 7.5 years.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The president does believe it's important that his successor is somebody who recognizes that our country is safer than it was 8 years ago, that we've enhanced our standing around the world, that we've strengthened our alliances, that we have refined and improved and strengthened our homeland security.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're going to give you an update. One of the big updates, of course, is the wife of the terrorist in Orlando, now under FBI investigation, saying she knew he was going to do it. The Federal Bureau of Investigation has convened a grand jury. There's also additional reports that the amount of interchange between the so-called American suicide bomber, that was the first individual from the United States that became an ISIS suicide bomber from the same mosque, that the ties between him and Omar Martine were much deeper than first indicated. I have been critical and will continue to be critical of the FBI, not of the individual agents, but of the FBI in saying this needle in a haystack analysis when they had the needle. I will say that I said it yesterday. I'll say it again today. But here's the problem, folks, and we were able to, Joseph Williams from our office uncovered this. This is from the I'm going to show it to our audience on Facebook and Periscope watching on TV. This is from the Office of Homeland Security. It's a Homeland Security Advisory Council. It is dated June of this year. Interim report and recommendations. This is from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. In talking about concrete actions that need to be taken, folks, you're listening on radio, here's the report. Reject religiously charged terminology and problematic positioning by using plain meaning English. For example, use American Muslim rather than Muslim American, Muslim communities rather than Muslim words. For example, on using American English instead of religious, legal, or cultural terms like jihad, sharia, tikfir, and ummah. So remove those words from the lexicon. So, Jordan, the Department of Homeland Security set up their own paradigm to de-emphasize the fact that we're in a war with radical jihadists.
Yeah, they didn't want to recognize that. They didn't want to recognize that. They don't want to focus in on it. And we know that these policies have been set by the executive branch. This is the Obama administration, the political appointees directly appointed by the president of the United States, who serve at the pleasure of the president, who have set this policy in motion. And that's why when it filters down to the FBI agents and people who make a career out of law enforcement and intelligence, they ultimately take their direction from Washington, D.C. And this is in the reports now that there are about 10,000 investigations ongoing, focusing on Islamic terror specifically, yep. And yet they won't use that terminology. So you can understand the confusion when you put it on a mass scale like that.
Well, this is, again, in the Department of Homeland Security's own advisory council memo. Folks, we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. A lot of ways to engage. We want your comments as well on Facebook and Periscope, but this is a good time. We want to know where you stand on these issues. And how do you view the politics of this? We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break.
That's right. You can call us now, 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. A couple lines open and get your voice heard on the air. You can also watch us on Facebook, facebook.com/jsekulow. On ACLJ.org. Great way to interact with the show on Facebook. Get your comments in and see now a studio quality or television style broadcast that we hope you like. But you still get to talk to us during the breaks. See you there.
It's the deadliest attack on U.S. soil since 9/11. A shooter who pledged his allegiance to the Islamic State opened fire at a nightclub in Orlando, murdering dozens of people. ISIS claimed responsibility for this horrific massacre. Orlando is the latest target in a series of radical jihadist attacks. There have been many others, Fort Hood in San Bernardino to name a few. ISIS has declared war on America. President Obama has it wrong. ISIS isn't on the run. ISIS is on the rise. How many more Americans must be slaughtered before we declare war on radical Islam and stop treating these deadly attacks as isolated acts of violence? ISIS is at war with America, yet President Obama refuses to acknowledge that threat. Sign on to our petition to defeat and destroy ISIS. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We are giving you the information as we've had our teams, our national security law teams, our lawyers looking at this, government affairs team as well. I mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, and if you're just joining us, that there is in fact a special report that came out from the office, U.S. Department of Homeland Security. I'm holding it up right now. You see it. In this memo, and this is an extensive one, there are recommendations. Recommendation three is to stop using phrases like jihad, sharia, takfir, and ummah. They want those removed from the lexicon. This is as recent as this month. I mean, this is not something 6 years ago. This is right now. At the same time, Phil Haney was one of the founding members of the Department of Homeland Security when it was first created. He was assigned to the Intelligence Review Unit. His job was to investigate individuals with potential links to terrorism. He noticed a trend of people with radicalized ties coming into the United States. So he looked into the global networks working to infiltrate the U.S. But a year into that investigation, Philip Haney says that he got a visit from the State Department. This would have been under Hillary Clinton's watch. And Homeland Security Office for Civil Rights and Civil Liberties. He was told tracking them was problematic because they were Islamic groups. Among the 67 of Haney's records that were deleted was an investigation into organizations with ties to the mosque in Riverside, California. That's where the San Bernardino terrorists came out of. Several years ago, after Haney complained about the shutdown of his investigation in Congress, DHS reportedly revoked his security clearance and pulled him from his duties. DHS said there are some holes in his stories but couldn't comment. He also said that the mosque in Florida was also part of this ongoing investigation. So here's what you've got, folks. Whistleblowers basically inside the agency. We have the agency's own language. And then we had a meeting yesterday between Director Comey and members of the House and Senate. I want to go to Than Bennett, our Director of Governmental Affairs. We have that worked out. Does that sound good? Let's go ahead and go to Than. And what is the report from that meeting, Than?
Well, it was a classified briefing, Jay, so we weren't in the room. But the people that were in the room tell me that essentially Director Comey said in private what he has been saying in public, that the FBI did everything that they should have done, and it did not result in an apprehensive of this attacker. Jay, here's the problem, and really it ties exactly back to the memo you just were reading. This administration has chosen a strategy that is based on common crimes rather than a terrorism threat. We're going to have Senator Graham on this broadcast tomorrow. And he's going to say exactly that. The reason we aren't stopping future attacks is because we are looking at these as common crimes rather than the threat of terrorism. Yeah. Director Comey essentially doubled down in that briefing. I don't think that's going to go over with members. I think he's going to continue to be on the hot seat.
I think this analysis, and even saying this is a mass shooting instead of saying it's a terrorist act, an act of terror with mass casualties, which is, I think we need to be careful on our language. But putting this in the context of crime misses the point.
I mean, you've got the systematic failures in the FBI. We've covered that for the last 2 days on this broadcast. Now I bring you this new where we're not allowed to use, they're telling the our Homeland Security and these agencies not to use particular language, including Sharia, Jihad, or Ummah, which is the Muslim world. Take those out of the reports. And this political correctness, which we've been really analyzing for the last 3 days here, Jordan, is this is part of the existing problem.
Yeah, it is. And what's gone on is that I think the Islamic community has gotten a pass to an extent, and yep. Now you're looking at another situation where you've got a husband and wife, a wife who is now telling authorities she believed he was going to carry yep. out this attack and helped him scope out locations for the attack, went to purchase the ammunition. Now there's reports that a grand jury's been convened, so she will likely face charges for this. But when you put this into context of what is acceptable in this community from coast to coast, so right. from Islamic community in Florida to an Islamic community in California, so from across the country, where similar reports, and from people from different parts of the world, whether yep. it's Pakistan, whether they're Afghani backgrounds, whether they've got Palestinian backgrounds, as the wife does in this situation, this is diverse. This is not just Arab an issue either. This yep. is an issue happening in the Islamic world. And I think that's why it's not about it's not a racial or profiling issue in the color of your skin, because it does go, it covers a wide swath of people when you're talking about the second largest religion in the world.
Yeah. I mean, when you say 10% is radicalized, you're talking about hundreds of millions of people.
Over 100 million people.
Yeah. Over 100 million people. That's just a big number. So, all right, let's go ahead. We've got a lot of calls and comments coming in. You want to comment or call, Logan?
Let's go to calls. Let's go to Gerald, who's calling from San Pedro, California.
Hi, Gerald. Air.
Hey, how you doing, Jay?
Good, sir.
You're doing a really good job.
Thanks.
I enjoy the radio station.
Thank you.
And you're informing all of us what's going on. I appreciate it.
We're trying, Gerald, to dig deep here. We're trying to give you an analysis you're not going to get anywhere. As I said, we were able to uncover, our team was able to uncover this report from Homeland Security that's just a few days old. So we're trying to get you information as it's coming available and giving concrete steps on what to do about it. But go ahead with your comment.
Yeah, the only thing I don't understand is things that are going around, like the mass shooting and everything. Yep. Why isn't the President of the United States not doing anything about it? He's not looking at it as a terrorist, but he doesn't want to say it's a terrorist attack. And I don't understand that. I don't.
Well, it's because he's got a narrative. And you're seeing this narrative played out. Again, I'm holding this up. I like holding evidence, folks. This is the Homeland Security Advisory Committee report that just came out a few days ago, and in it says don't use phrases like religious, legal, or cultural terms like jihad, sharia, or ummah. These are words that are traditionally used to describe your enemy. He wants it as he wants to focus all of these on gun control or the issue of crime. So I thought Lindsey Graham had a really good point on this. We're going to have him on the broadcast tomorrow. Let me play it for you, number 23.
The FBI closed this file because the Obama administration treats radical Islamic threats as common crimes. I'm not trying to solve a crime, I'm trying to prevent an attack. And if we'd kept the file open and we saw what he was up to, I think we could have stopped it.
I mean, I think Lindsey Graham is 100% correct. Now, Fan, here's the question. The pressure is on the Justice Department, but again, it starts with the top here. It's the president. The president doubling down on not using the word radical jihadist or radical Islam.
Well, it goes back to the sound that you played in the open of the broadcast, Jay, where Josh Earnest from the White House lectern said that this country is safer and that the world is safer than it was 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Jay, that is delusional. It is a fantasy land. For them to look in the face of this attack and say that the threats are diminishing and that the scope of ISIS is receding, that is just not dealing with the facts. And so, Senator Sasse says, listen, there are no magic words. That's exactly correct. But until you identify the enemy, it is impossible to set a strategy. It is the responsibility of the commander-in-chief to set that strategy, and the first thing he has to do is identify the enemy. But instead, Jay, he says, we're safer than ever.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and take another comment or call.
All right. Let's go to Gary, who's calling in Macon, Georgia.
Hey, Gary.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for what you do. My question is this. We know we are at war with radical Muslim or Islam, and we know how Hillary, her opinion basically is about the same as Obama's. I saw on the news this morning that the polls is showing that Hillary is increasing her lead over Donald Trump.
Substantially.
What's wrong with people? I don't understand this.
Well, I do. Language matters. And I don't think Donald Trump has done an effective job at articulating a particular. He's using the words, but not giving a solution, not giving a concrete plan. I mean, we laid out a five-step concrete plan. I'm going to go to Jordan on this, who deals more with the political side of this. But look, I mean, it's early, but this is a double-digit lead that Hillary Clinton has. It comes the week after. Remember, some of this polling was done after the whole thing with the judge. That was a whole issue. But then you had it after the attacks. It was part of this, too. And the politics of it, I think, require, without a question, you have to have, you can't just use sound bites. It's statements that matter. It's policies that matter. And I think that some of that's a reaction. Jordan, what's your take?
Yeah, I think we're getting late enough into a cycle where people are expecting to hear a bit more specifically. I'm not saying that Hillary Clinton's done that either, but we know from Hillary Clinton, her approach is similar to the Obama administration. So you've kind of seen these policies laid out before. She'll get more specific, but she's got something to build on. When you're Donald Trump, you're not coming from a Republican administration that's already been there. So you're talking about significant changes in our approach, at least with the rhetoric. But people are waiting to see, not just say, I'm going to appoint people that will do this and that, but explain and put more people out there who are going to speak for you to explain how you're actually going to complete these ideas and how you're going to put that into action. People are going to want to see that, and I think it would be good to see before you get into the fall presidential debates. You want to have this kind of explained. You don't want anything to be surprising. Still right now, Donald Trump is a candidate who I think surprises people every day. I think even the NRA tweet is pretty surprising. It's again, the idea that this is just not the norm. That's not necessarily a bad thing. But
he's basically taking the position that on the assault weapons that there may need to be, and terror watch lists, that there may need to be some changes within the reporting. And that is not a position the NRA would endorse. So he's not playing conventional political wisdom here, so to speak.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, that's a situation. It's just very different. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but people are going to want more specifics.
Logan, we don't have time for another call. I don't think we have a comment.
This is some comments. This person, Maria, said, it's so wrong. We need to quit being so careful not to offend. Our enemies will come for us. There's also, this is a question to come in. Let's call it what it is so we can defeat it.
Yep.
That was from James. A lot of statements coming out today, not as many questions.
Yeah.
One quick question was, how can we blame the agencies when the president of the administration is the kind of dictating what they're doing?
Yeah, so I said I don't want to blame the individual agents. I've said that. I have a lot of respect for the FBI. I have a lot of respect for James Comey. I'm not blaming the individual agents because they're only allowed to do what their bosses, supervisors, and the executive branch tells them to do. But we've got a systematic failure within our intelligence community. And I could take it all the way back to the Sarnes brothers and bring it right into Orlando. Consistent and regular failures. But it's also an inability to call your enemy what it is, radical jihadists. So what I would suggest is that you go to ACLJ.org right now and sign on to our petition, which is going to demand that we call this war with ISIS exactly what it is, a war with ISIS. We'll take more of your calls and comments when we come back from break in just a minute.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's the deadliest attack on U.S. soil since 9/11. A shooter who pledged his allegiance to the Islamic State opened fire at a nightclub in Orlando, murdering dozens of people. ISIS claimed responsibility for this horrific massacre. Orlando is the latest target in a series of radical jihadist attacks. There have been many others, Fort Hood in San Bernardino to name a few. ISIS has declared war on America. President Obama has it wrong. ISIS isn't on the run. ISIS is on the rise. How many more Americans must be slaughtered before we declare war on radical Islam and stop treating these deadly attacks as isolated acts of violence? ISIS is at war with America, yet President Obama refuses to acknowledge that threat. Sign on to our petition to defeat and destroy ISIS. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
You know, it's very interesting also, there are Muslim leaders saying it's highly unusual that this individual would have made two consecutive trips to Saudi Arabia. So that link's being looked at. The wife is now under investigation. She knew about it. She knew that he planned it. She knew he was going to do it. She did nothing. She's called, you know what that's called? Another terrorist. That's what it's called. And they're saying, well, we're going to impanel a grand jury. Great. Impanel a grand jury so you can indict her. I'm all for that. But she's a terrorist. And these jihadist couples are doing this. This is part of what ISIS is trying to do. So let's just be cognizant of this fact that this is what we're dealing with. There's also another report. Logan, are you feel comfortable about saying what?
We can at least say what the source is.
Okay, so there's coming out. You know, you've heard a lot about what other areas he was,
right.
Omar Martin was kind of staking out. What do we have?
Yeah, Omar Martin was staking out what was told was the Walt Disney World area, whether that was Disney Springs or downtown Disney. It was unclear. But this is from Breitbart reported it, but originally came from Carla Ray, who is a reporter at WFTV. She's saying that her sources are saying that law enforcement say that Disney notified the FBI that the couple may be casing Disney in April.
So they were aware of it.
They were aware of it just because due to their security. And they even kind of said in their statement yesterday, Disney's statement, which was their security is a lot higher than you think it is. Because
there's
a lot of
all.
Plainclothes people. There's a lot of people walking around. There's a lot of cameras that you know. So if you see someone doing suspicious behavior, and that could be, hey, they're going to the parks and not going on rides.
And they watch that.
Look, I've been stopped for just being in a group of people by a guy wearing shorts and flip flops with sandals or sandals with socks,
yeah.
Pretending, and he shows me a badge and says, "Hey, what
are you
guys
doing?"
Logan
does a Disney podcast, so he's very familiar with facilities.
But I mean, that's saying that if Disney security, if this comes out to be true, and again, the reports are it came from Breitbart, but originally came from a local Orlando station.
That's significant.
That is significant. That's huge because that shows that Disney was able to do their job.
Yeah.
And report this person, but they couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, so Jordan, following up on what Logan just said, okay, so you got a situation like this. We're lawyers, so you look at the evidence here. And the evidence is overwhelmingly pointing to a incredible systematic failure.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So you have double investigations over one individual. You have his wife involved in this, going to the ammo to buy ammunition, helping him scope out locations, not reporting it to anybody. Yep. You have a suicide bomber from the United States who traveled to Syria to carry out a suicide bombing attack, attend the same 120-person Islamic mosque. Prayer facility, not right. Really even a full mosque. I mean, this is a prayer facility outside of Orlando, and same individual who they had direct contact with. Two trips to Saudi Arabia for a Islamic pilgrimage that most Muslims, it's not even a mandatory Islamic pilgrimage, it's very expensive, it's Umrah, and already experts are looking at that and saying, people, even from a middle-class background, so that have some money to spend, would not usually make this trip more than once, but it can be used as cover. Because you're traveling into Saudi Arabia, it takes about 7 to 10 days.
Yep.
So to make that trip back-to-back in sequence years, so 2011, 2012, raises a lot of suspicion. And this is all while the FBI was investigating, yet they closed it. And we now know that many of these investigations were closed because they were told not to focus on Muslims.
If we can confirm that Disney had these people under surveillance and the FBI took them off a watch list, which we know they took them off a watch list, this individual, Omar Martin, this in and of itself shows a systematic failure.
You're talking about 8 weeks ago?
8 weeks ago.
This was in April.
Yeah. So, Than, you just said that, interestingly, and this is, again, our Office of Government. Than heads up our Office of Governmental Affairs. I know we've got a lot of new listeners, a lot of brand new stations on. Than, there was a big meeting yesterday. One thing that was not asked for by Director Comey.
Yeah, additional resources. And listen,
he did not ask for additional resources.
This individual, right. It'll just be the latest in a huge amount of information that the FBI had that this was a very bad person and a person that posed a threat. The fact that Director Comey did not ask for additional resources yesterday tells me pretty convincingly, and by the way, more than one person told me this, it's pretty clear he did not ask for them yesterday. It tells me that he knows they had enough resources in this particular case, and they had enough information on this guy. They just failed to act. He didn't ask for resources because he knows that they dropped the ball.
I mean, absolutely incredible. All right, we're taking more of your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110, uncovering a lot of information on the broadcast today. Logan, what do you have next?
Let's go to Danelle, who's calling on line 6.
Hi, Danelle. Hey, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Yes, using the logic of the administration and Homeland Security, yep. I'll compare this to a doctor seeing cancer and calling it a skin rash or an irritation.
Right.
And so without diagnosing the body's enemy and aggressively attacking it, that patient's going to die.
Well, that's exactly, no, you're exactly correct. I mean, this whole lexicon approach, and again, folks, look, I'm giving you the evidence. I'm holding it. Here, you hear it. You're seeing it if you're watching on Facebook or Periscope. Here it is. This is the Department of Homeland Security. This isn't from 4 years ago. This is from a week ago saying, let's not use those terms. Don't use jihad, Sharia, or Ummah. Okay? Now, you think it's just right-wing or conservative media that's giving the president a little grief on this? Not the case. CNN, yesterday. Here you go.
If you're getting specific enough to call something radical Islamic terror, when it clearly is, why is that such a big deal?
Well, Michelle, to the extent that it would be helpful, we could provide you the numerous instances in which the president has acknowledged that what ISIL and other extremist organizations represent is a perversion of Islam.
A perversion of Islam, not radical jihad. This is the problem. And that was a reporter from CNN. So this isn't, again, this is not some right-wing information. All right, I'm going to try to grab another call before the break.
All right, Toby's calling in Detroit.
Hey, Toby.
Hey, guys. Thanks for what you guys do. By being politically correct,
yeah,
it's just masking the whole problem. We're at war with a false religion, Islam,
yep.
Period. And if they keep this up, I mean, the president is so uninformed, it's just amazing. I can't wait.
Here's the thing. Here's the problem. You've got a situation, and I think this is the reality. We don't want to call the enemy who they are, and that is jihadists. It is a war with, you know, this is not popular. Are we at a war with Islam? Well, there's an element of Islam that's at war with us. So, I mean, that's just fact. If I look at it under the international law of warfare, ISIS has declared war on the West. And that is a declaration under international law, Jordan. This is war.
Yes. I mean, so when you have this specific situation where you've got a entity like this now operating as a state, controlled territory,
yep. Different than
government. Yeah, they've got government. They run government services. You can take their declaration. And remember, we're engaged in armed conflict. I mean, there are missiles being launched. There's an air campaign against ISIS. And I think we're at a point now where to ratchet that up to the next level, and we'll have to hear this from presidential candidates. We don't expect this is coming from the Obama administration. We have to go to that next step of military engagement. That doesn't necessarily mean hundreds of thousands of U.S. troops, but what it does mean is putting together a real coalition to totally destroy ISIS.
We have put together a five-step concrete steps to take to fight radical Islamic terror. We have put it on our website at ACLJ.org. It's by Professor Harry Hutchinson, who was a guest on the broadcast yesterday. You need to read that. When we come back from the break, and we're taking a break now, the broadcast, first 30 minutes coming to an end, I'm going to get into the politics of this, and we're going to want your calls on this at 1-800-684-3110. We've got more sound from that CNN interview, more information to give you. But multiple, if you're just about to lose us in 59 seconds here, let me tell you, you don't want to miss the next 30 minutes of this broadcast. Many of you get the whole hour. If you don't, Logan's going to right now go through the list of ways you could stay with us right now.
Right, you can join us still online, Facebook and Periscope, facebook.com/jseculo. Periscope, search for Jay Sekulow or at ACLJ.org. If you can't tune in, you got to get back to work, whatever it is, you can join us later on ACLJ.org, or you can find it on the Jay Sekulow Live podcast, the ACLJ app for iPhone, for Roku, for Apple TV, iPads, however you get your media. We're trying to be there and make sure you can get the whole show each and every day. But again, live, if you want to join us, you don't get us on your stations or SiriusXM, obviously carries us, join us over on Facebook, facebook.com/JaySekulow. You can interact that way. Great way to start the show.
Also, folks, protect America, defeat and destroy ISIS. That means declare war. Go to ACLJ.org. Sign that petition now, ACLJ.org. We're back with more, including your calls and comments in a moment.
It's the deadliest attack on U.S. soil since 9/11. ISIS has declared war on America. President Obama has it wrong. ISIS isn't on the run. ISIS is on the rise. Yet President Obama refuses to acknowledge that threat. Sign on to our petition to defeat and destroy ISIS. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
on two big reports. I think the takeaways today. One, the wife of Omar Martin now under investigation by the FBI. By the way, it looks like she was another jihadist. Okay, we saw that in San Bernardino. We're seeing it now. Also, our team, and I want to thank our team for this work, Homeland Security Advisory Council, U.S. Department of Homeland Security. This is the actual report. I'm holding it in my hands. Facebook and Periscope, you're seeing it. On page 13, phrases not to use. Do not use jihad, sharia, takfir, or ummah. Remove those from the lexicon of the Department of Homeland Security. So when you refuse to identify the enemy, you refuse to call the enemy, and you refuse to identify what the enemy's doing, guess what you do? You lose the war. And we've got 49 dead Americans in Orlando, Florida. And I don't want to lose sight of that for a moment. And the FBI had this individual in their watch. So we are monitoring this and working on this. And our national security team, we don't just talk about it on this broadcast, our national security team is working on it. Let's go ahead and take another call.
All right, let's move on. Let's go to Michael in Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Hi, Michael.
Thank you, Jay.
Sure.
Jay, if we're in a war, it involves a lot more than the FBI.
Yep.
It involves our armed forces.
Correct.
And you have not taken the debate to that level.
That's not correct.
All right. Well, hold it,
Michael. Before you make an accusation, did you read our 5-point plan that we posted, that we discussed on the radio broadcast for the last 2 days?
Okay, I know that. But
let me say, before you make an accusation like that, let me just say it for our audience purposes. The United States government should take the gloves off of its response to terror, which means that it must prepare to unleash the full force of its military in order to deprive ISIS of its strongholds in Syria and Iraq. That's point four. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Here's the point. You say 10% of the Muslims of the world are radicalized. We have 3 million Muslims in the United States now. That's 300,000 radicalized people. Now, even though they haven't all decided to strike immediately, they may do so in the future.
What's your point?
The point is we need a serious campaign to deal with that future possibility.
Michael, I appreciate the call, and I appreciate you calling from Virginia Beach, Virginia. We've got an office. But we have laid this out extensively in our materials that we've submitted both to Congress and that we're working on and that we laid out 2 days ago in a 5-point plan. Fan, you wanted to comment on this, and I want Jordan to as well.
Listen, I sat in meetings on Capitol Hill yesterday and pitched point number 5 of our plan, which is a formal declaration of war against ISIS. And let me tell you, that is a heavy ask on the Hill, because what it means is they're going to have to take on an Obama administration that actually wants to decrease the authority to go to war. So it would mean Capitol Hill engaging on all fronts on this. We have been anything but timid. We have called for an armed forces approach. We have also called for a formal declaration of war. And it's difficult for me to tell you just how heavy an ask that is, but we've made it.
And Jordan, we have laid out that military action to get rid of ISIS may well be essential and pinpricks may not work.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And we're not afraid of saying that. A lot of politicians, it seems like, don't want to commit troops and to a more serious conflict. And I think some of that's just a crisis of leadership as well from the Obama administration. They are concerned about authorizing this president to do it and then not going in and actually getting the job done. But we think that there needs to be a full debate on this, that there should be a resolution declaring war on ISIS, and that the president should not be hamstringed, whoever that future president may be, in carry out a full plan to defeat ISIS.
And we've got comments coming in, too, on Facebook and Periscope. We want to get to a couple of those, Logan.
A lot of people are just curious about your thoughts on this. I said, Jay, do you think this is something that we can actually do something about?
I do. I think we have to have concrete action. We've laid out a 5-step plan is the overview. I think those 5 points implemented will make a big difference. Look, we wrote a book called The Rise of ISIS. Came out 2 years ago and updated last year. This is the manual. This is what they're talking about. I encourage you to get the book, Rise of ISIS. If you want to understand how Hamas and ISIS interact, Rise of ISIS, a threat we can't ignore. Folks, we've been saying this for 2 years. We'll be back with your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110 when we come back from the break.
Yeah.
It's the deadliest attack on U.S. soil since 9/11. A shooter who pledged his allegiance to the Islamic State opened fire at a nightclub in Orlando, murdering dozens of people. ISIS claimed responsibility for this horrific massacre. Orlando is the latest target in a series of radical jihadist attacks. There have been many others, Fort Hood in San Bernardino to name a few. ISIS has declared war on America. President Obama has it wrong. ISIS isn't on the run. ISIS is on the rise. How many more Americans must be slaughtered before we declare war on radical Islam and stop treating these deadly attacks as isolated acts of violence? ISIS is at war with America, yet President Obama refuses to acknowledge that threat. Sign on to our petition to defeat and destroy ISIS. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Well, the only person fooling himself is Josh Earnest. I'm going to go back to the CNN commentary. This was a CNN reporter, folks, so this wasn't Fox News. This was CNN challenging the White House on their failure to use the phrase radical jihadist.
Are you sure that anyone sees those magic words as a strategy, though, and they're not just pointing out the fact that the president hasn't wanted to say them for a very long time, even though others have, and now including Hillary Clinton? It just seems like when he talks about people painting this with a very broad brush, it seems maybe as if you're painting this with a broader brush than some of those critics mean from the beginning.
What else? What other critiques have those critics offered in terms of fighting ISIL? They haven't. This is the thing that they constantly come back to.
Okay, this is an incorrect statement. And I want to go to Jordan. We're going to lay this out. This is incorrect. First of all, our five-point plan has already been submitted, and part of those are being acted on now. There has been a consistent refrain coming from members of the Congress saying that this attack and strategy in the war is wrong. So this isn't something new, Jordan. This has been going on for 18 months.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the idea that this is that misdirection we've talked about on this broadcast so much, that this administration likes to tell people this is not about radical terrorism, it's not about terminology, and yet we have this idea that's permeated through our government that you can't focus in on these. You don't name your enemy, so you can't focus in on jihadists. You can't focus in on Islamic centers throughout the country where terrorists are coming out of the same place with only 100 people, and we're not focusing in on it.
So, Than, let's talk about this. We're going to have Senator Graham on the broadcast tomorrow. To say that, Josh Earnest, to make the statement and seriously make the statement that there are not members of the, you know, the more conservative or the Republicans are not addressing this is a false statement. I mean, completely incorrect.
Oh,
it's absurd.
It's completely factually incorrect. Not only members of Congress, members of the United States Senate, the ACLJ, a number of others have called for the total destruction of ISIS. To say that the entire strategy is based on using magic words to define them, no, it's not. But, Jay, how do you ask the armed forces, the American people, to send their men and women into harm's way if you can't even tell them who the enemy is?
Yeah.
Our mission is the destruction of ISIS. But in order to do that, you have to call them the enemy and then instruct them to be defeated.
Yeah, but then you got the president. You ready for this one, folks? President spokesperson says, don't worry, we're safer now than we've ever been. Take a listen.
The president does believe it's important that his successor is somebody who recognizes that our country is safer than it was 8 years ago.
Does anybody believe that? I mean, does anybody out there believe that? That the country is safer than it was 8 years ago? San Bernardino, Orlando, Fort Hood? I don't think so. All right, let's go back and take some more calls.
All right, let's go to Chris, who's calling from Union, New Jersey.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, sir.
You know what? I disagree with you know what? I hear a lot of rhetoric about President Obama. Oh, this is he refuses to name it this. Never mind the name. It's a these are terrorist acts. We know who cares if they're Islamic faith or if they profess Islamic faith. Who cares what they profess? The bottom line.
Who cares?
Is
whoa. Back up, Chris. You got to identify your enemy. You'd acknowledge that, right?
They're terrorists.
Yeah.
They're
well,
terrorists.
What kind of terrorists are they?
Who cares? They're terrorists.
Well, hold it. Are they Irish Republican Army terrorists that are causing this problem?
I know what's causing the problem.
Hey, Chris, I'm just asking a question. Calm down. Is it the Irish Republican Army? They were a terrorist group. Or is it Ba'ath separatists? They were terrorist groups. Are they the ones causing this problem right now?
Those guys, they can say whoever they are. It doesn't mean that.
Okay, well, you acknowledge who are the terrorists that we're engaged with right now?
They are terrorists most likely from the Middle East. Never mind the religion.
But are they terrorists most likely from the Middle East? Are they Christian terrorists from the Middle East?
Well, listen, let me tell you.
Chris, are they Christian terrorists from the Middle East?
Of course you don't.
Are they Jewish terrorists from the Middle East?
That America has been turning its back on God for the
Okay, so let's not. You know, I don't think you're trying to spiritualize something by saying the America's turned its back on God. So what, we deserve this? Is that what you're saying?
He's gone.
Yeah, he's gone. Good. Because that kind of logic gets you nowhere at the end of the day. All right, let's take another call.
All right, let's go to Joni, who's calling from Mexico on line 5.
On Facebook.
Yeah, watch on Facebook.
All right, Joni from Mexico. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hey.
I've signed your petition.
Thank you.
I guess I'm wondering, do we dare suggest that ISIS is here just because of their influence and their influence over the internet and their influence from the leaders at the mosques and things like that? And why aren't we checking on these leaders in the mosque that they're radicalized?
I'll tell you why.
Because
the Department of Homeland Security and the State Department have gone to our individuals that were responsible for them. We've got all the papers right here saying you can't do it anymore. We don't want you doing that. Don't target. Don't profile. And by the way, I'm a lawyer. I've been doing this for 36 years. Guess what? When you've got a crime, the first thing you do is you profile who's the likely criminal. So, of course, they're now interviewing the wife. Why would they not interview the wife? When she knew this was happening, she's saying that now? And she didn't stop it? Guess what you are? A terrorist. And this whole idea of the political correctness, and we've talked about this for 3 days, is part of the problem here. Joni, go ahead with the rest of your comment.
Yeah, I guess that's just it. I'm wondering why, they haven't gone after the imams and the people in the mosque.
You're raising a point that I think has to be discussed. And I know this is not popular. The president made the statement, well, this is about religious freedom and the First Amendment. I'm going to play that bite if we can pull it up. Because this tells you why. You asked the question why, Joni, which is a really good question. Here's why.
This is a country founded on basic freedoms, including freedom of religion. We don't have religious tests here.
So
our founders.
This is the argument. We don't have this. But of course, this is not correct. There's no First Amendment right to be a terrorist or to encourage terrorism. That's called against law. But it's also an act of terror itself. And Jordan, this political ground one. Jordan Than, quickly to respond here. We're going to get to more calls. But the fact is, I think we've got to be very specific here. Something's going on in that mosque in Jupiter, Florida, right? Let's get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you've obviously got a situation where these individuals have been radicalized there. They're targeted there. There is an issue, too, with the Islamic leaders in South Florida. There's an issue with Islamic leaders in Southern California. I mean, we've seen these two areas as hotbeds for terror recruitment. And whether it's Anwar al-Awlaki and online sermons and recruitment going on that way. But people are turning a blind eye to this. It's happening in their communities. These are not people who don't show up in public. He was a known person at the nightclub. His wife knew about this, and he was at Friday prayers just about every week. So it's not like he was some recluse staying in his home. That is not this situation. These people are out there.
So, Than, let's talk about specifically what we've now done in the last, what we at the ACLJ have done. Because I think it's important not to just talk about this as we are and giving information, which is very important. But what were the concrete steps we're taking right now in Washington with our global affiliates?
Well, we've sat with leaders of both the House and the Senate and called on them to really fill the void that the president has created. First of all, there has to be a rejection of this continued insistence that there's a somehow we're not fighting a religious ideology. Of course we are. We have to name it. We have to identify it. But specifically, Jay, we have asked them to step in and do what they can in the absence of the commander-in-chief. They cannot be the commander-in-chief, but they can provide oversight to make sure that the FBI does not allow these kind of failures to go on unchecked. And specifically, Jay, we think it is time for them to declare war on ISIS and to pass a strong authorization for the use of military force. We don't yet know whether or not this president will do it, but let's go back to something very, very quickly that you said earlier. The next president might just have the resolve to get it done. If you pass that declaration of war now and the authorization for the use of military force, they might get it done.
All right, let's take another call before the break. Then we're going to go into a rapid fire round, so we'll try to clear the lines here so everybody can call in.
All right, Marcus is calling from San Diego, California. You're on the air.
Hey, Marcus.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. If we're safer than ever before, then why have we had more attacks, more mass shootings than under any other president's watch?
Because we're not safer than we ever were before. Because that's a political rhetoric that Josh Earnest can't resist in saying. It's like the president saying it's freedom of religion, so you can't look at the mosque. It's freedom of religion, you can't ask these questions. You know, I find it troubling when they make that statement. But then what Logan said earlier, I hope people listen to what he said. I want him to say it again, because, folks, if what is being reported by the local TV affiliates in Orlando is true, and our FBI didn't do anything about it, this is a serious problem.
Yeah, it was reported on Breitbart, but also reported from a local television station. Those are the kind of the two sources right now. TV anchors said their sources are indicating that the police were actually even told that Disney themselves, the Walt Disney World company entity, had reached out to the FBI to inform them that they had been noticing that Omar Mateen had been casing the place, is the words they're using, for a potential attack. So this is coming from Disney Security, who then reported that to the FBI. Again, we just have those few sources, but if that is true, you're talking about a major gap and a major failure, because it's not like Disney is a small company. The number one, the person bringing the most jobs to the state of Florida. It's really an amazing thing if this was just swept under the rug.
We're going to find out. We're digging more into it and deeper. Folks, we've got an expanded version of our book, Rise of ISIS, that is now out at Amazon, wherever books are sold. Let me encourage you to get it. Rise of ISIS. If you want to know what's going on with all this, we talked about this 2 years ago. We've expanded it now. Rise of ISIS, available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy your books. We encourage you to get it. All right, we're going to do a rapid-fire round. Logan's going to let you know what you can do to participate.
Yep, you can give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. About 3 lines open right now, and sometimes those clear up. So again, 1-800-684-3110 to get your voice heard on today's broadcast. We're going to take all the calls that we can in the next segment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's the deadliest attack on U.S. soil since 9/11. A shooter who pledged his allegiance to the Islamic State opened fire at a nightclub in Orlando, murdering dozens of people. ISIS claimed responsibility for this horrific massacre. Orlando is the latest target in a series of radical jihadist attacks. There have been many others, Fort Hood in San Bernardino to name a few. ISIS has declared war on America. President Obama has it wrong. ISIS isn't on the run. ISIS is on the rise. How many more Americans must be slaughtered before we declare war on radical Islam and stop treating these deadly attacks as isolated acts of violence? ISIS is at war with America, yet President Obama refuses to acknowledge that threat. Sign on to our petition to defeat and destroy ISIS. Call 1-877-989-2255.
That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Yes, everyone, this is where you're allowed to ask us anything. We're taking your calls at 800-684-311. This is our rapid fire round. If you're on Facebook or Periscope, swipe over and let your friends know that you could participate this. And let's go to call one, Logan.
All right, Christine's calling from Riverside, California.
Hi, Christine.
Hi, God bless all of you. I love you guys.
Thanks.
I had a question. I don't know if it's rational or selfish, but is it irrational to ask, hey, you know, let's bring our troops back here to, because I just live 10 minutes down the freeway from San Bernardino. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's happening so much, and we're obviously so, I mean, we're real close.
Well, you get a whole situation if you got, you know, you're talking about U.S. troops being deployed to the streets?
Yes. Yeah. Well, not so much to the streets, but just bring them back from wherever they are out of the United States.
Yeah.
And bring them back here to the States. Is that irrational to think or to even
no,
ask
I mean,
that?
Here's the thing. I mean, Jordan will remember this. After 9/11, I mean, we had military on every corner in Washington, D.C., Jordan. I mean, it was there.
Yeah, it was absolutely there. And you had these situation where, whether it was Hummers on the corner and just a serious presence of military. And what I think we have to understand is that we're in a country right now where I think people would freak out. And I think that's because of the lack of leadership at the national level, at the White House, at the president. They would get concerned about having this kind of power. They don't, you know, we've had a lot of these ideas out there. So I think that's why it's time for new leadership. We're going to have new leadership in Washington, D.C., like President Obama or not. It's moving on, and it will be up to that next president. But certainly, we've used these kind of security measures before. Now, at a mass level, where you're not just talking about major capitals, but also places like this in yep. Orlando, that would be very difficult. We don't have the resources for that in the United States.
All right, let's go ahead and take some more calls. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110.
All right, Jackie's calling in Mesa, Arizona.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, how yep. are you doing?
Good.
I was just wondering why the McCarran-Walter Act of 1952 doesn't apply, which is the Anti-Terrorism Act.
Well, no, after the September 11th attacks, led to a whole series of we had the terrorism laws that had been considered on immigration. So there was a whole series of changes that had been made. So those have been updated since 1952. I've got that correct. And we've got the technology issue that you didn't have available. You know, 1952, they weren't thinking about internet communications and things like that. So we were able to update through the Patriot Act, basically the 1952 Act, to make it more contemporary with the exact fight that we're engaged in. And by the way, Jackie, that doesn't mean it should not still be being changed. And Than, that's one of the things we're working on. We're always looking at holes in the law.
Well, this is exactly why we've told Congress that they can't just stand back and let the commander-in-chief take full responsibility for this. They can statutorily fix a lot of these loopholes. Remember, Tashfeen Malik entered the country on a fiancé visa. That is under the jurisdiction of the Congress. In fact, we fought for their authority to maintain control over that statutory program. That program and others, Congress should be working now to make sure that we smoke out these terrorists before they land on our soil, and then we keep them out.
All right, so we're taking more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let's take another call or comment, Logan.
Yeah, a lot of comments coming in directed at Josh Earnest. This came in from Pat Johnson. He said, I'm so sick of Josh Earnest getting on national television and lying to the American people. Cannot stand to listen to it anymore.
He's just saying what he's told.
Well, then Amy says, that's what she says. Josh doesn't even believe what he's forced to say. He's so flippant. Right. It's obviously he's hiding the truth even from himself.
I know. I think that's 100% correct.
It's a tough job probably to be a press secretary. You have to your spokesperson to have to,
justify this.
Say problem. What they have to say.
All right.
Let's go move on to Richard, who's calling from Nashua, New Hampshire.
Hi, Richard.
Hi, Jay. I signed a petition.
Thank you.
This is a Christian nation. It was founded in Christianity. That's why America's great. But this administration is forcing Islam on us.
Well, here's what you've got. It's a nation founded with Judeo-Christian principles. There's no doubt about it. That's at the foundation of who we are. It's a Judeo-Christian worldview. And radical jihadists don't share that. That's why they attack the West. And the targets are they're equal opportunity terminators or exterminators, if you want to say it that way. They're equal opportunity in the way they will go after anybody from the West. Jews, Christians, gay, straight. It doesn't matter to them. If you're not buying their version of jihad or their version of Islam, you're the enemy. That's why you have the Shia will kill the Sunnis as quick as they'll kill the Jews or Christians, and vice versa. I mean, that was, by the way, a quote from T.E. Lawrence, Lawrence of Arabia. So this is not something that's coming out of thin air. There's history behind this. It's not that recent. It's been going on for hundreds of years, and this is the ongoing problem.
All right, let's move on. Megan is calling from Jacksonville, Florida.
Hey, Megan.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show.
Yep.
I just wanted to say that as a young individual in this country, I mean, talking under 30, I think I go against many of my peers in saying that what we identify these individuals as matters. And I tire so much of people who were on the show earlier saying that it doesn't matter what we call them. It does. And you know, in my opinion, my humble opinion, it matters because it impacts how we fight them. We are fighting. We should be fighting in this nation an ideology that these Islamic terrorists are waging against us.
Well, no,
it's an ideology, and until we address that, we will not be able to fight them properly.
Well, look, Megan, I think you're absolutely correct. There is a big part of this, Jordan, that's ideological warfare. I mean, this is fighting the ideology is as important as the military aspects of this.
Yeah, I mean, that's how they're able to recruit these fighters to travel from fairly comfortable Western homes into places in the desert in Syria and Iraq where their loss of life is imminent and likely, how they're able to recruit people who live in the United States of America to carry out what amounts to suicide missions ultimately. And the attack in Orlando, same kind of situation. Ultimately, anyone knows that you will be killed when you carry out these kind of attacks, and yet they're still able to recruit individuals, whether it's in San Bernardino or Orlando, Florida, to carry out these attacks. So it's happening again. It's ideological backing that comes through religion in this case. That's where the ideology comes from.
All right, let's take the last call.
Yep, Diane in Pennsylvania.
Hi,
you're
Diane.
On the air.
Hi. I was just wondering if the government and the people in authority over us are not going to take care of this problem, what can the little people do?
We've got to react. I mean, we got to react as a group. I want to go to Than Bennett on this. So I want you to know this is the last minute of the broadcast here. Understand we don't just talk about it on air here. We're taking concrete steps. We laid out a plan of action. We are working on the implementation of that plan of action. And Than, I think it's important for people to understand what you're doing as soon as this broadcast is over.
I would say two very quick things, Jay. First of all, that five-point plan that you've been referencing, we continue to take that to the Hill, to continue to insist that they acknowledge the religious ideology that is behind this, and frankly, that they fill the void that the president has left, that they declare war on ISIS, and they authorize the use of military force for this president or for future presidents. Yep. Listen, we cannot have a situation where there is an attack on our soil and the perpetrators tell us why they are perpetrating that attack, and our commander-in-chief says the world is safer than ever. But that's the world we live in, and we are calling on Congress to step in and fight back.
Let me give you a little bit of good news as we close this broadcast out. There's been a case against those videographers, CMP, Center for Medical Progress, against them, a criminal case out of Texas, for the disclosing what Planned Parenthood was doing. As we got 30 seconds left in this broadcast, let me just tell you this. Those criminal charges have been dismissed. We're fighting Planned Parenthood and a couple of other cases right now ongoing. In fact, our lawyers were in California yesterday. But again, the criminal case against David Eldon and the others has been dismissed out of California. It's a little bit of a good news report on that front. We've got a lot more on this tomorrow. Stay tuned. Make sure you're getting us on Facebook and Periscope. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It's the deadliest attack on U.S. soil since 9/11. ISIS has declared war on America. President Obama has it wrong. ISIS isn't on the run. ISIS is on the rise. Yet President Obama refuses to acknowledge that threat. Sign on to our petition to defeat and destroy ISIS. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.